We'll begin our reading in verse 25. Mark chapter 15 and verse 25. It's a blessing to hear the pages of the Bible turning. Not every church is like that. The Bible says in Mark chapter 15, verse 25, "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him and wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribe, He saved others, himself he cannot save. But Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. When the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him drink to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 says, And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, whom was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, and tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared to another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraideth them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Let's pray together. Lord, we're grateful for the opportunity that we can gather together on the first day of the week to celebrate the truth that you are risen. We're grateful, Lord, for your promises that you've given to us, the promise of your word, that you are present with us this morning. We're grateful for your word, that we can study it together, that we can learn from it, that we can be encouraged. And Lord, that in this day of darkness and hopelessness, that we indeed can find hope. And so, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us through your word. I pray that you would challenge us through your word. And may you be glorified with every aspect of it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. No morning of the year brings the feeling of hope and encouragement to the heart like the resurrection morning. And none would question that we need hope in the midst of such a hopeless world today. It was John Clever who said the main emotion of the adult who had all the advantages of wealth and education and culture, the main emotion of an American or a Canadian is disappointment. Think about that for just a moment. We are living in such a hopeless world. I mean, it doesn't take long to build that feeling of hopelessness when you watch the news but 4 or 5 minutes. And you see everything that is happening, all the corruption, all the sin in the world. And yet, as we gather together here this morning, we're not focusing on the sin of the world or the hopelessness of the world, but on the fact that we have hope today that our Savior lives. And that we serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today, and we know that he is living because he lives within our hearts. And even though we have much despair in our world, we have that wonderful blessing in our hearts to know that he has given us victory. You know, for many people in the world today, they have this long weekend, Easter weekend, and for many, they think of Easter, they think of it as a story or a fairy tale, or, you know, if you ask people what they're doing this Easter weekend, for many, it's they're going to, you know, have time with family, and they get time off work, and That's really the focus of many people in our world today. But for believers, those who are born again, we understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the very foundation of hope for a hopeless world. And we gather here this morning not in despair, but in that feeling of hope to know that Jesus lives. Someone said the day of resurrection, earth telleth out abroad, the Passover of gladness, the Passover of God. From death to eternal life, from this world to the sky, our Christ hath brought us over with hymns of victory. Now let the heavens be joyful, let earth her song begin, let the round world keep triumphant and all that is therein. Let all things seen and unseen their notes in gladness blend, for Christ the Lord hath risen, our joy that hath no end. Now, our theme for this year is God is greater. And our focus on our messages and our focus for the year from our church is that God is greater than the circumstances of our life and that we can find hope in him. And yet, when we talk about the greatness of God, nothing says more than the greatness of God than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We serve a risen Savior. And I want us to notice from this passage of Scripture this morning the hope that we can have in our hearts today. First of all, I want us to think about this, the power of the cross. The power of the cross. The Bible says in Mark 15, verse 25, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. When we consider the scene here of the cross of our Savior, from a passerby, from someone passing by, it may seem like this is not a display of God's greatness. From one passing by, it might seem like this is not a great display of God's power. I mean, we have a beaten and bloodied Christ. We have a dying Savior. I'm sure the devil rejoiced when Jesus was nailed on that cross. And from many who looked far away, they must have thought, he's lost the battle. He's lost the war. But Jesus was not powerless on that cross. The Bible teaches us that he laid himself down voluntarily. He said, no man taketh my life, but I willingly give it. Jesus gave his life, and the power of the cross is the death of the Savior who died for you and me. I want us to think about the power of redemption. The definition of redemption is to recover from captivity by ransom. Jesus gave himself for us. And to better understand the power of redemption, we have to understand that all individuals are in the captivity to sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our world would say that humanity, we're progressing. Our world would say that humanity is marching forward, and yet God says, no, it's waxing worse and worse. After thousands of years, Western civilization has advanced to where we bolt our doors and windows at night while jungle natives sleep in open huts. The reality is our society is not marching forward. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all captive to sin, and yet the Bible says that only Christ can redeem us. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It is the shedding of blood that gives the remission of sin, and Jesus Christ has shed his precious blood to save our sinful soul. We see not only the power of redemption, but notice the power of forgiveness. The Bible teaches us that all men are under the penalty of sin. Not only are we sinners, but also the Bible says we're under the penalty of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we are guilty. And because of that, we deserve death. And yet, only Christ can forgive us. You know, when we think about the Lord Jesus, we really see the heart of forgiveness. His heart for forgiveness. We think about his heart for forgiveness even before the cross. Turn with me to Isaiah 53 and notice what the Bible says. Isaiah 53, prophetic here of the cross of the Lord Jesus. In Isaiah 53 in verse 5, the Bible says that Jesus was willing to forgive those who would come to him by faith. And we notice the forgiveness of Jesus even before the cross. In Isaiah 53 in verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The thought there of wounded, he was wounded for our transgressions. Wounded there means to be pierced through. Think about the heart of Jesus and his forgiveness before the cross. But think about this, the heart of forgiveness from the cross. Luke chapter 23, verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His heart of forgiveness. He's a forgiving Savior. Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He is a forgiving Savior, and the power of the cross is that he died for us. He died as us. He took our place. And through his cross, we find forgiveness of our sins. A Sunday school teacher was concluding her lesson, and she wanted to make sure that the boys and girls understood her point. And so she said, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness?" And there was a short pause, and then from the back of the room, a small boy spoke up and said, "You have to sin." And we've done that. We're all sinners. The Bible says we all have come short of God's glory, and yet we see the very heart of God and his willingness to forgive. I see the power of victorious living. The Bible says, Romans 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And so Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. As Christians, we must be continually reminded that our victory has been made available through the cross. And we no longer have to serve sin, but now we have victory through Christ. I want us to see, secondly, if we could notice the proof of the resurrection. The proof of the resurrection. Notice what the Bible says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 6. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. You see, Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, he is risen, he is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. The Bible tells us that Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. In other words, Jesus showed himself alive, that he was resurrected, by many incredible signs, incredible proofs, undeniable proofs. Over 15 times he appeared. You say, well, what does the resurrection represent? Well, it represents this. It proves the deity of Christ. Now, this is important. The Bible teaches us that he had promised his resurrection. And if Jesus had not kept this promise, it would invalidate all the other promises that he made. If Jesus would not have kept the promise of the resurrection that one day he would live again, then all other claims that he had made would be useless. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The Bible says in John 14:9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? John 8:28, Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he who, I am God, I am the Messiah, I am the Savior of the world. When the resurrection takes place, you will know I am God. And the Bible says, And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Sometimes we do not seem to understand the doctrinal distinctiveness of the Christian faith. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is God, that he died for our sins, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and that he rose again. And the resurrection proves who Jesus is. He is God. He is God. But also the resurrection proves the Word of God. The Word of God has prophesied the resurrected Christ. Psalm 16:10, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer mine Holy One to see corruption. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Actually, let's turn there if we could. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Let's turn those pages once again. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Notice what the scripture says here. 1 Corinthians 15:3. The Bible says this. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, look at this, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, look at this, according to the scriptures. The Word of God proves for us that the scripture is truth. And that we can believe the Word of God. We can build our life on the Word of God. We can put our confidence in the Word of God. And so we notice in this passage of Scripture together, as we think of the resurrection of the Lord, the power of the cross, the power of redemption, the power of forgiveness, we think about the proof of the resurrection. It proves the deity of Jesus Christ, but it also proves the Word of God. And I want us to notice, if we could together, the promises of the Savior. The promises of the Savior. As we consider the wonderful promise of the resurrection, we're also reminded of other promises through this wonderful story. We notice in this passage of Scripture, the Bible teaches us that one day that Jesus will come again. The same Jesus will come again. We find the promise of his second coming. Hebrews 9:28, So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. John 14:3, a familiar passage of Scripture. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a wonderful hope that we have in our hearts today, that one day Jesus will come again. He'll come again. But also we find the hope or the promise of eternal life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, let's turn there if we could. 1 Peter 1. And notice the promise of eternal life. 1 Peter 1:3. 1 Peter 1:3. The Bible says this, verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. I'm glad today I'm kept by the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The promise of salvation. The promise that Jesus will come again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. A wonderful hope that we have. But I think about the resurrection, and I also think about the promise of a second chance. Some today need to come to Christ as Savior. There may be an individual here this morning that's not a Christian, and they need to be saved today. I believe God brought you here this morning to be saved. And there are others that need to return to Him as their Lord. Maybe they're backslidden. Maybe they're not living their life the way that they ought to. And they need to be committed. They need to commit themselves to Christ today. I think the resurrection, it opens the door for that second chance. And I think the greatest illustration of that is Peter's life. You know, Peter lived a life of self-promotion. And yet the story of the resurrection, and we don't have time to build it out this morning, but John 21 is the story of a second chance. It really is. I heard the story of a little boy and his sister. They were riding a rocking horse. And the brother said to his little sister, he said, you know, if one of us would get off the rocking horse, there'd be more room for me. And oftentimes, that's our attitude. We live for ourselves. Our life is about us, and we're always thinking about us. Our desires, what we want in our life, it's all about us. And Peter, he had lived a life of self-promotion. He had got caught in that whirlwind of self-promotion. And in Mark chapter 14 in verse 66, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when he saw Peter warming himself, she looked unto him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth, but he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the great story of the resurrection is after Peter had denied the Lord, he thought that he could no longer serve the Lord. And John, he says, he told the other disciples, I go a fishing. I mean, God can't use me anymore. I'm washed up in this ministry stuff. And yet, the Bible says in Mark 16, verse 7, and if you didn't see it, this is just an incredible thought. The Bible says, as the angel tells Mary to go tell the disciples and Peter, he needs to hear it, that Jesus is alive. Because the resurrection is a second chance. It's a second opportunity. Peter had denied Christ, but the wonderful message that Jesus lives is the second chance that we have. Tell Peter, the Savior lives. John chapter 14, would you turn there with me? John chapter 14, a familiar passage of Scripture. John chapter 14 and verse number 1. Notice what the Scripture says, John 14 and verse 1. The Bible says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. This speaks of the deity of Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If that were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's the cross, by the way. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have you experienced the power of the cross and the empty tomb? The empty tomb. You can know the joy of your sins forgiven today. And you can leave this building knowing you have a home in heaven. And if you're not living for the Lord today, you're maybe backslidden, then you can have that joy renewed, because the resurrection is the message of a second chance. We don't have to live under the tyranny of sin. No, we have victory in Christ, and we can move forward in that wonderful, wonderful victory. John chapter 11, verse 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that this morning? What a wonderful hope that we have. Jesus lives, and we shall live as well. It's a wonderful morning. It's a wonderful hope that we have. God, help us today to live in that hope. Amen. To live in that victory. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we're grateful for the opportunity that we have.